privilege to be here this afternoon. Our subject this afternoon is Our Open Door in Haiti, the Urgency of Our Mission. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, we read the words of the Apostle Paul, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." When you hear the word Haiti, what comes to your mind? Beautiful hues of blue water silhouetted by picturesque sailboats, striking mountains covered with quilt patch-like gardens dotted with quaint thatched-roofed houses, or voodoo? Or is it the boat people? The Haitians have a proverb, "Sac vide pas camper." That means an empty sack can't stand up. And you know what that means? That means I'm hungry. I need food. Sac vide pas camper. An empty sack can't stand up. And that's basically why they come. This is one reason why Haiti is so receptive. It was said of Jesus, "The poor heard him gladly." They still do. What a thrill to be a part of God's outreach into this needy open door. And I mean that. Let's first consider how and when God opened the doors of Haiti to the Wesleyan Church. 1982 marks the 40th anniversary of God's planting the Wesleyan Church in Haiti by Norman Bonner in 1942. With special commemorative services in each district, we have been celebrating this milestone event. First on April 18th, marking the first general or national conference of Haiti. At this occasion, it was thrilling to hear the remarks of one of our founding workers, Pastor André Bélisaire, our national evangelist. He said that the spirit of revival overflowed in those early days, and people were moved upon by God to repent. We were really thrilled there as we sat there on a Sunday morning when Dr. Emery was waiting to bring the message, and it was already 12 o'clock. So don't get excited. Pastor Shea told you that it was only going to be 20 minutes. Later, on the 21st of May at Port-au-Prince, the capital, Dr. Norman Bonner, who is professor of missions at Bartlesville Wesleyan College, incidentally, he is the founder of the Haitian work. I'm just telling that he was a Pilgrim Holiness missionary, actually working under a faith mission, the Hepzibah Faith Mission at the time. And he honored us with his presence at the commencement exercises of the Wesleyan Theological Institute of Haiti. And as Speaker of the Hour, he too related the moving and guidance of God's Spirit in the beginning of the church 40 years ago. He challenged the graduating students, "Shepherd God's flock. It is your privilege and responsibility." God's blessing and growth have marked the 40 years since the planting of the first Wesleyan church. My wife and I have been able to observe firsthand this growth since 1949. Then there were 8 churches. Now there are 91. Then there were 650 members. Now members number over 4,000. The Sunday school enrollment was then around 2,700. Now more than 15,000. Likewise, the Wesleyan Christian Day Schools enrollment has increased just in the last 10 years from 2,100 to 14,000. Wesleyan Christian High Schools have been training scores of our youth at Cape Haitien, at Port-au-Prince, and at and on the island of Lagunov, with new secondary schools being built and started at Port Margot and at Petit Goave. Hordes of suffering people have found relief and healing in our three dispensaries at Port Margot, Petit Goave, and Assagalé, as well as in our hospital on Lagunov. The past 2 years have witnessed a complete rebuilding of the hospital, which has now doubled its capacity. 1,500 TB patients are being treated. Doctors Edling and Hunter are regular staff. This month, Dr. Emmett is helping with this important healing ministry. Hundreds of Haitians have been cured from tuberculosis, and many of them have found the Lord. The hospital on Lagunov has been sponsoring 5 to 6 surgical teams a year, spending 1 to 2 weeks at a time. And this has meant that hundreds of Haitians have been returned to normal living patterns, and many of these have come to know the Lord. Yes, the doors to Haiti are still wide open, with effective ministries being carried on through the various outreaches. Sometimes they ask me, what do you do as a missionary? And I answer a whole string of duties that seem remotely related to missions, in addition, of course, to teaching in the Bible Institute, preaching, witnessing, counseling, planning and working together with the National Church. One of these other jobs is going to government departments to seek residence visas for new missionaries. A while ago, 3 dedicated called missionaries were waiting to go to Haiti, but the door was closed. No visas were being granted. It was a complicated matter. I won't cite all the details, but I can testify that with prayer and patience, God can open all kinds of blocked doors. When a high official refused to see us regarding the visas, the Lord opened the door by another official who approved the visas and sent a personal letter to the department that had refused. This brought an immediate result. God still moves the hearts of men to do his will. It is a wonderful experience to sense God working in you and with you as you are working for his glory and for his kingdom. I remember vividly battling to secure a duty exemption on a double cab pickup truck. And that would have cost the mission an additional $1,600 that neither the field had nor the headquarters. And again, there seemed to be a closed door. I left the office feeling dejected. But breathing a prayer of desperation to the Lord, in a few minutes, the Lord led me by pure coincidence to just the right man. I just happened to go down to a garage where we were doing our repair business at the time. And whom do you suppose was in the garage, coincidentally, and they introduced me to him? The president of the National Bank of Haiti. Wrote a little card, sent me up to the Minister of Finance's office. I never saw him that time, but I saw his secretary. And in a minute or so, I returned to the place where I had been rejected 30 of an hour before. And I was given an assurance by the man who had refused me that my request would be granted. That was a miracle. A miracle that was worth $1,600. Praise the Lord. One of the most rewarding experiences that I have had in recent Ministries was in the mountains of southern Haiti last summer. I didn't have time to go, too many other responsibilities, but I was needed. There were marriages to perform, there were baptisms, there were quarterly meetings to hold, and so we took our share. Some of the Haitian pastors who had the authorizations of the government and other qualifications, they went. We went like a team, and then we'd spread out on muleback or horseback and go in different directions. So I took my share. I think it was three or four churches, and then we'd all come back together and go back together in the vehicle. We'd leave the vehicle behind where the vehicle would not go up these mountain paths and roads. And so after a week, we expected to see each other. But I was on this trip. It was on this trip that I saw missions in action. One of our former Bible school students, La Fortis, he's now a pastor, and he had discipled a young man of his congregation. This young man had just accepted the challenge to an open door where the pastor of a church had died. This was a neighboring community from the church at Chaumet. The spirit of sacrifice and dedication of this young man as he chose to follow Christ in a life of service thrilled me. It was the gospel of Christ in action, reproducing like precious faith, working by love. I couldn't forget the self-forgetting sacrifice with which Pastor Lafortis himself had accepted the open door at his church when another pastor had died more than 15 years ago. Now to see the same spirit of love, Christ's love going on to the third generation made me realize again, it's worth it all. Since 1968, for 10 years, the Bible school was closed due to, in a large part, to a personnel shortage. During this time, six students were sent to the Jamaica Wesleyan Bible Institute. These all have graduated and are active in evangelism and teaching. In January 1979, upon our return to Haiti, the Wesleyan Theological Institute opened in Port-au-Prince. In May of this year, the 10 students were graduated. These recent graduates are a challenge to our faith. God has prepared them as a part of a task force to engage in the spreading of the good news in this time of Haiti's open door. Our present Assistant National Superintendent was preaching to our Bible Institute students this spring. I didn't want to go to Léogâne, he said, and had refused the district committee three times. God spoke to me, and I went. When I got there, the church was in a sad state, only 4 to 5 adults attending and a few children. Early in the morning and often late at night, I went alone into the church. There I knelt with my Bible before me and cried unto the Lord. For many days and weeks, I wept and prayed for the needs of the church and of the community. There was a lot to overcome in this city. It isn't easy to be a pastor. The power of the devil is hindering in every way. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit to carry on God's work. Today, Pastor Ramolian's church is filled. There are 70 baptized members. The church day school has an enrollment of about 500. Metromove just completed a campaign in Port-au-Prince on July 15th of this month. More than 50 Haitian church leaders and laymen, plus missionaries, joined the U.S. team of Paul Swager, Ron Bickert, and Don Bray in laying the groundwork for two new churches in this great capital city of more than 1 million. Bible studies were held in 70 different homes. After the film Jesus, translated into Creole, was shown in a vacant lot, 44 came forward for prayer. There were 183 conversions during 8 days. Now is the follow-up, and here's where you come in, unless the Lord lays something else too, more pertinent, not more pertinent, but different upon you to go, to give. But your responsibility, my responsibility, is to pray for these home Bible studies and for the opening of these two new churches. That would be church number 92 and 93. God is working. The challenge of working with the elite ladies of Port-au-Prince, we might say these are the people who are up and out, the forgotten people in Haiti. The poor hear them gladly, and the poor get the message. And a lot of missionaries feel more at ease amongst the poor. I know I do. But at the same time, they're out there and they must be reached for Christ. I was privileged to be called upon to be a pallbearer at the father of a woman who had just been recently converted through this ministry. And her father, who had been an international correspondent photographer, was from New York City. And he was getting old. And he came to retire in Haiti, to live in a hotel so he could be near his relatives. And old Charlie, just a few months before he died, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And his daughter, who had become a Christian, knew it when she saw him, even though she hadn't heard about it. She saw the change that had come into his life. Well, I had the privilege of being a pallbearer to his funeral just about 15 days before I left Haiti. And what a wonderful funeral it was. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit was there. And I heard the Wesleyan pastor from California, who is now pastoring a community church in English there in Port-au-Prince, he read the chapter of 1 Corinthians, the resurrection chapter. It was the message. I never heard it read that way before. It's just tremendous. And there were all these elite people sitting there hearing the gospel, the power of God's life. It was a challenge. It was thrilling. And to think that God is working in these lives. And my wife has had the opportunity of working with the Christian women's clubs, both the French. There's one in French. There's one in English that meets every month. They're two separate organizations, but my wife attends them both. And there are prayer meetings and Bible studies, monthly buffets, and they're reaching many. Maria, a young, beautiful Mexican wife of a businessman, said, "I didn't want to come to Haiti. Everything was so dark. But through Christian Women's Club, I opened and read the Bible for the first time in my life. Now that I know Christ, everything is light." She is one of the many lives and families who have been touched and changed. In Mark chapter 2, there's a story of a closed door. Well, it wasn't really closed. It was open. But it was filled with people, and they couldn't get in to get to Jesus. Four men carried the man sick with palsy to Jesus, but they could not get him to Jesus because of the great crowd. The men uncovered the roof and broke it up, letting the sick man down into the presence of Jesus, verse 4. The sick man represents a sick world at our door. They are not only sick in body, but sick in soul. They need to be brought to Jesus. We must go out and bring them. Just as the sick man had hindrances, there are many obstacles in the way of getting the ones in need to Jesus. In many cases today, people are blocking the doorway. They are hindering others from reaching Jesus. As in the story, the attitudes of some of them toward Jesus was antagonistic. We can help or block people from getting to Jesus. Our attitudes are very important. Am I helping or standing in the way of any individuals reaching Jesus? Is it my lack of personal faith for their salvation that is keeping them from getting to Jesus? How badly do I want to see them find Jesus? How much am I willing to do or to sacrifice? Here are some men that realized the urgency of missions. They had to get that man to Jesus, even if they had to tear the roof off the house in order to do it. This is what Christian missions is all about, tearing the roof off the house to bring someone to Jesus, desperate enough to disrupt the natural order of things to reach a lost world. Doors are wide open. Why is such urgency necessary? Opportunities don't always wait. Doors may close and are closing. Situations, leaders, countries, peoples are changing every day. The harvest is ripe now. Eternal souls are at stake. What are you doing? What am I doing? Are you doing? Am I doing my utmost that God might reach a lost world through me and through you?
Thank you, Brother Ortlip, Bishop to the Church in Haiti. I think we'll just pray. Father, our souls are bared today before you, and we know that you are touching our hearts, and we pray right now your Holy Spirit will indeed be allowed to say his word to each of us. There are young people, there are older ones here that can still plan to serve on a field somewhere. And Lord, we know that many of us need to be more awake to the great opportunities of sharing Christ right at home. So seal this message to our hearts this afternoon. Have your way, Lord, in my life. And now bless the offering that we bring. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to receive an offering this afternoon.
Zion Haste. Let us stand as we sing.
To tell to all the world that
Markell, Vice President of our district, will pronounce a benediction, but I want to say there's some fresh...
Father, how can we say thanks for all that you have done for us? Put within us the heart of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth to seek and to save the lost. And may we move out with that kind of a heart to tear up roofs so that we can let men into the presence of Christ. In the word of John Knox, here's our hearts, set them aflame for you. And help us to reap the harvest before it rots. Let thy blessing be upon us in these closing moments of this camp. And keep the vision before us until our action matches that vision. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.